How much term insurance, Thomas says, do you suggest for a family with three kids under five? I know you talked about this in one of your books, but it's not mentioned in Financial Peace. Thanks a bunch. Love your concepts. Well, thank you, Thomas. Well, term insurance, you should buy 15 or 20 year level term. If the kids are under five, probably 20 year level term. And if you've got 20 year level term, then, you know, the youngest one that's three will be 23 at the end of that term. And the idea being that the insurance is going to be in place without changing price until the kids are grown and gone. They're out of college. And so that matches up pretty good with you. And we recommend you take out about 10 times your income on you and about 10 times your wife's income on her. So if you make $60,000 a year, you would need $600,000 in term life insurance. Now, the good news is that's not very expensive. If you go to ZanderInsurance.com and put in your age, in about 20 seconds, you'll have a quote from five or six of the cheapest companies in America, best prices on the planet, and you'll just be blown away as to how inexpensive that is. And so, I mean, like the cost of a pizza, and you can take care of your family, $600,000. Now, if you die, then your wife takes $600,000 and invests it. If she makes 10% on that, which over time she can probably average that, like that. Now, last 2 years she couldn't, but the average is. Then she pulls $60,000 a year off of this. Then you've been replaced. Your income has been replaced in the event of your death. So you don't want to buy too much. You have to sleep with one eye open. Now, and if she is a stay-at-home mom and you make $50,000 or under, well, let's just say a stay-at-home mom should have anywhere from $250,000 to about $400,000 on them. You know, the more household income that's involved, you ought to put $400,000 on them. In other words, we're replacing $40,000 worth of expenses associated with what mom does. If the household income is very low, we might associate it with a little less. We might associate it with, you know, $25,000. But somewhere in that range for the stay-at-home mom, $250,000 to $400,000, that represents about 10 times the expense or the savings you have, rather, with mom being at home. Hope that helps you. ZanderInsurance.com. Audrey is in San Francisco. Hey, Audrey, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. What's up?
Well, currently, my husband and I are paying $600 a month for our family to have medical insurance. Mm-hmm. The copay is $40 a visit. We have four small children. Mm-hmm. So we don't use our health care at all. And we are seriously wanting to just cancel it and save up a lot of cash to be able to pay for that.
Absolutely not.
I'm sorry, what?
Absolutely not. You're about to have to file bankruptcy. Your health care is, you don't buy $600 a month for the $40 copay. You buy $600 a month for the $250,000 bypass.
Right. We're like in our 30s, though.
So. Never happens in your 30s, huh? People in their 30s don't get cancer. Children don't get sick and have to go in the hospital. You'd be bankrupt one visit.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, you're scaring me to death. That's why I'm just like, So, no. I understand that it's expensive. Let's look at some ways to lower the cost of it, if there is a way. You're in California, $600 a month for a whole family doesn't sound that bad to me in California. But let's shop around. How big a deductible do you have?
I don't think there is a deductible.
And it's through his company?
Yes. Yeah.
And how big a company does he work for?
I want to say there are over 50 employees. I'm not positive about that.
Okay. But it's still, it's under 100.
Yes.
Okay. Well, usually very small groups like that don't get a group discount. And so if that company can buy that in the open market, you might be able to beat it as an individual person. When my company was only 50 people, we used to just give them money and tell them to go buy their own because it was cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
than a group deal was. So, and now that's in a different state, but still it's the same. So what I will tell you to do is this. Go to DaveRamsey.com, click on ELP for Endorsed Local Provider, and you'll find a health insurance person there that is an independent insurance broker. Now, what that means is they don't sell for just one company. They sell for lots of different companies. And what is everybody pretty healthy?
Yeah, okay. Everyone's healthy.
Okay. And so if you go to the doc, you're pretty well paying that, just the basic kids got the flu thing out of your pocket anyway, right?
Right, yes.
Okay. Or draw a hot bath and tell them to get over it or something.
Right.
All right. So if you're going to do all of that and you've got a little bit of savings built up, one way to get your premium way down would be to look at what's called an HSA, a health savings account. Okay. Now, the health savings account will have a $5,000 deductible. And so, basically, you're taking care of your own health care, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something really, really bad happens that would have otherwise bankrupted your family, which is what was scaring me a while ago.
Right.
Okay? So, that might cut your premiums by a third or as much as in half. And okay. So, all you're buying then is the catastrophe side of the insurance. Now, if you got over $5,000, it pays 100%. And you're actually allowed to save money into a health savings account, tax deductible, to cover that high deductible, if that's the case. So go to DaveRamsey.com, click on Health Insurance ELP, ask them for a better rate with an HSA. Question is from Amy on Facebook at Facebook.com/DaveRamsey. What things do you recommend buying used versus brand new? That has everything to do with where you are in your financial plan. You need to have at least $1 million before you buy new cars. Cars go down in value like a rock, and so you should buy a used car. And in a lot of cases, then you ought to still think about buying a used car. But you should buy used cars almost always until you have $1 million. I mean, when we were broke and digging out of debt, we did a lot of our shopping at consignment sales, especially for kids' clothes. Especially because a kid wears something three times and they outgrow it. It has no wear on it whatsoever. Now, you don't want to dress them, you know, like dumpy little things. But, you know, if you watch what you're doing, I can tell you, my kids dressed well. And it was when they were little, it was in, you know, Oshkosh Bagosh. You can really. So I think sometimes people go too far on some of these things. I'm not dumpster diving. It's not happening. I'll just tell you. I'll find something to do called work and figure out a way to avoid that. But some people think that's an art form or something. I don't. I think it's gross. But, you know. Used clothing is okay. Now, I haven't bought used clothes in years, but I haven't been broke in several years either. So, as you do better, the more new things you'll buy because they become a smaller and smaller percentage of your world. But when you're broke, deeply in debt, and don't have a big income, any money you spend on anything becomes a big percentage. And so, eating out versus cooking at home. It's you just don't have room. You've got other stuff you've got to do right now. You got to live like no one else, so later you get to live like no one else. But that's a great question, though. You know, we first got married, we bought a washer and dryer from a guy used. And we used it for 5 or 6 years. It was fine. It kept the clothes clean. But, you know, now that we've got some money, my wife wanted the one that, you know, has a microwave built on the side of it or something. I don't know what the things do everything. It's amazing. And so, you know, she's got that, but it's a small percentage of our world now. So she can get whatever washer and dryer she wants. It's not a big thing. But boy, when you're broke, I mean, a $50 washer and dryer on Craigslist is a great deal. I'm amazed at how much cool stuff you can get used and really good stuff that people just, don't want anymore for whatever reason. And so, but I don't want to go too far. I don't want to be weird about it, but I am sure, and you know this too, that we just get lazy and we run down to freaking Walmart or Target and just buy stuff. And for what you spend on some little cheap butt piece of furniture is going to fall apart, you could have gone on Craigslist and bought a real quality piece, slightly used, from somebody that's just getting a divorce. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Instead, you go buy cheap junk. So, now I have a very, very nice Breitling watch that's a very expensive watch. I bought it used. Saved, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on the stupid thing versus what it would sell for new. And believe me, 98 people out of 100 that know Breitlings can't tell the difference. So, you know, you just got to look and think about that and be reasonable about it. You don't want to become obsessed with it. But I'll tell you, to this day, my wife still takes stuff to the consignment sale. We don't buy consignment sale clothes, but she still takes the clothes there and is proud of her $378 check or whatever it is she gets back. Changed our net worth, you know. But she does it, you know, and was bugging one of my daughters that groaned the other day about putting some clothes in the deal, you know. It becomes a pattern of living life frugally, and you continue to live life that way. So, good question. Very interesting. Very interesting. Alan is in Amarillo, Texas. Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm better than I deserve. How are you, Dave?
Better than I deserve, sir. How can I help?
Well, my wife and I have finished baby step two. We've paid off about $50,000 in 2 years, and we now sit with our $1,000 emergency fund. And my wife, Dave, is really, 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 really wanting a house, and she shops for it a lot. She found one that was half off of the tax rolls. It was a foreclosure fixer-upper. And she's wanting to finance it 100%, and I'm not for it. And she's extremely upset about.
She just needs she's just having a little fit because she didn't get her way, huh?
Yeah, well, it's not a little fit, but yeah. And she, I've told her that, you know what, we've got the plan. I think within 12 to 24 months, we can have our fully funded emergency fund, and we just need to stick through it and pay the down payment.
Yep.
And I was even willing to compromise going from 20% down to 10% down, but she just wants to have it now, and I don't know what to tell her because she won't. I can't. I'm not hearing her. Or she's not hearing me.
She just doesn't want to hear you. The problem is this. When you buy a home with nothing down and no money, Murphy will move in your spare bedroom and bring his three cousins, broke, desperate, and stupid, with him. The roof will go bad, the hot water will go out, and the heat and air system will blow up all in the first 6 months you live there, and you're going to find yourself right back in a mess because you did not have the wisdom and the maturity to wait until you had your emergency fund in place plus a down payment. You're working an exactly perfect program. And she just she's acting like she's four. She figured out what she wants, and there's no telling her no. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I act like I'm four. And sometimes
she's a lot like you.
Sometimes my wife has done that too. But, you know, this is a time where, you know, that she needs to sit and listen and be wise. There's no logic to what she's doing whatsoever. It's very unwise. And people that do this kind of stuff are the ones that end up in foreclosure, and they're the ones that end up in bankruptcy, and they're the ones that end up in our office for financial counseling because they go against what they know is unwise. They know it's unwise, but there's no telling them once they get house fever. And she needs to quit looking at houses.
That's one of the things that I've tried to encourage her to do. And, you know, just to throw more logs on the fire, we've got a business together that right now we're expanding and we're doing that debt-free, but obviously there's some risk involved with that.
Well, I might slow down that expansion in order to hit these other goals first.
Well, and that's one option. And the problem is that she doesn't see the two as being related. You know, she wants it all and she wants it right now. She just doesn't see the two as being related at all. And I can't convince her of that because she says, well, we wouldn't be paying any more in the mortgage than what we're paying in rent right now.
Well, that's the biggest myth out there floating around. When your house payment is the same as your rent payment, you are not saving money. It costs more to own a home than it does to be a renter in the short term, on the monthly basis. It just costs more to be an owner. You have to do all the repairs. You have all the other exposure. So I don't know how to tell you how to make your wife be more mature. I don't know how to do that. But that's really what we're dealing with. Jen is on Facebook.com/Dave Ramsey, says, what's wrong with getting a large tax refund each year? Well, Jen, let's call a large tax refund like $4,800, almost $5,000. That means that you've loaned the government money and you didn't get paid any interest, and they give it back to you a year later with no interest. Because if you get a tax refund of $4,800, that means that they've taken out of your check $400 too much. You didn't owe that much in taxes. You overpaid on your taxes. But you don't get that money back until you file your tax return. And so, you know, next March or April or whatever, you start to get your $4,800 back. So you have a savings account being deducted from your check that pays you no interest, and then they close the account and send you the savings once a year. So, you know, here's the point. What if you had used that $400 a month to pay it on a credit card instead of leaving it with them? And that saved you 18% on that. That would have saved you almost $900 in interest during that year. If you paid off a $4,800 credit card instead of letting your money be saved with the IRS for free. So if you have a $4,800 refund, we could call that a $900 mistake per year in lost interest saved by paying down a credit card, as an example. So it's a pretty big mistake. I mean, if you just take $900 and throw it out the window of your car on the interstate, we would call that a mistake. We would call you stupid. That's what we would call you. And so don't keep doing it, because then we would call you stupid. Getting a tax refund year in and year out because you have too much taxes withheld from your check, thereby earning no interest on that money, would qualify as a stupid thing to do if it costs you about $900 on a $4,800 refund. Stupid. So this is what's wrong with it. Is you don't want to overpay the government. It's a bad plan. You don't want to overpay the government. So what do you do if you've done this? Well, if you figure out what the average tax return's been for the last couple of years, if your life has not changed substantially during that time, then what you'll do is just go to your personnel department and ask to have more deductions on your check, thereby bringing more money home. Because if you've had a $4,800 refund for the last several years, you want to bring home $400 more a month. And get personnel to help you adjust your check to bring home $400 more a month. If it's $3,000 a year you've been getting, that'd be $250 a month. If it's $6,000, that'd be $500 a month. Just take the amount and divide it by 12 that you're getting, and that's how much more you should be bringing home every month than you are. So fix it!